Good morning, ladies. Happy Sunday, Lord's Day.
If we never ring the bell, you never have to start.
There's that.
That's right.
We'd be here all day, though. We have to start sometime.
We have a two-pager, so.
Thank you, everyone, for being here, and thank you, Stephanie, for nudging me to come up here. I clearly love being in front of everyone. It's my favorite thing to do. So my topic is maturing through devoted prayer, which I really, really love. So before I get started, I'm going to have Angela start us out with prayer.
Dear Father, thank you so much for your son, Jesus. Thank you for this time together where we can learn and grow with each other. And thank you for Lily, God. Thank you for the work you've done in her life. And I just pray that you bless her preparation and her study of this topic, and that it will just flow out of her to us, and that we'll hear your word, we'll be doers of your word, and help us to be a blessing to all those around us. So again, Lord, we thank you for this morning and this opportunity to learn and grow. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. So most of you already know me. I'm Lily Tabern, and I've been at Johnson Avenue for a little bit over 13 years. I obeyed the gospel and was baptized into Christ in September of 2009. And since then, my life has changed in a way that I can't explain other than God being in my life. Like, which I'm sure many of you have that same experience. Like, I don't even, yeah. In October of 2009, I met my amazing husband, which many of you know, James. In December of 2010, I graduated college and received my associate's degree in paralegal studies. And then in May of 2011, the reason why he's my awesome husband is, or amazing husband is, because I married my best friend and my biggest cheerleader. He's awesome. He encourages me a lot. And in July of 2014, I obtained my immigration legal status. And then in March of 2015, which is a really big deal because I had been in this country for over 26 years and was not here legally. And in March of 2015, I got my dream job at an immigration law firm, which was awesome. And then in July of 2016, I became a mommy for the first time, and with the support of my husband, decided to quit my job and become a stay-at-home mom. I share this with you so you can know a little bit more about me, but mainly so I can be upfront and honest that while all these are amazing blessings, they did not come without their trials and me having to learn to lean on God for help. After I obeyed the gospel, I was on fire for God. But you know how Satan likes to mess with you, and it was always this feeling, which listening to some of the ladies' lessons was awesome, because we all struggle with the same thing of self-doubt, negative talk. And I'm like, I love you, God, and I'm going to do everything for you. And then you just hear Satan about, you're never going to measure up. You're not good enough. It's, you know, you're a hot mess. It's not going to happen. Marriage has been a challenge, and we've had to work really hard to be where we are at now. My degree, which was supposed to be a two-year program, took me 7 years to complete. And even though I was married to a U.S. citizen, unfortunately, we found out that it would be a three-year process, and after 25 years of being here and calling this my home, I would have to go back, leave this country, go back to Mexico, and wait and see if they would let me come back in here. So very uncertain times for sure. And while being a mommy is not what I consider my dream job, it has definitely come with its challenges. Insecurity, loneliness, distrust, feeling inadequate, and a bunch more stuff. So the topic I will be speaking on is very near and dear to my heart, and it has been my lifeline even before I came to Christ, maturing through devoted prayer. So the next part is going to be an exercise that I would like for you all to join if you can. Some of you may be familiar with this imagery. So we're about to enter into the throne room. First, I want you to close your eyes. And imagine you are entering into the throne room of God our Father with His Son and the Holy Spirit. You come before his presence, knowing you are unworthy. You bow before our Lord. You drop the cinder blocks that have been weighing heavy on your shoulders at the feet of Christ. You realize how blessed you are to be before his presence and immediately give him praise, honor, adoration, glorifying his name. You hear Jesus saying, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or tremble, for the Lord your God is the one who is going with you. He will not fail you or abandon you. You can do all things through me. I will give you the strength." You pour your heart out to God as he listens. You feel this intense sense of relief, a peace that surpasses all understanding. You feel comfort and freedom. He opens his arms and hugs you as you hug yourself. He tells you, "Everything will be okay." You can open your eyes. I've had to go into the throne room many times. So we're going to go ahead and get started with the questions. And the first question is, what is prayer and what is not prayer? Thank you all, by the way, for participating with me in that. So yeah, what is prayer? We'll start out with that.
Anybody have one of these? Okay. Maybe you have two? Hold on, let me get some.
I have two here.
Oh, do you?
Oh, no, I don't. I only have one.
Sorry, Lily.
No, you're good.
Okay, so prayer is thoughts on what is prayer or how you would describe prayer? Danny?
Just talking to God, opening your heart up.
Expressing our thankfulness.
I don't know how teachers do this. Anyone else have anything on what is prayer? Asking for help.
Openness, like God knows everything that's we're thinking anyway, so why not tell him?
Honesty. Mm-hmm. Did you have something? Were you going to say something?
For understanding and wisdom.
Yes, both. Sorry.
Praising you.
Sorry?
Praising.
Praising him.
Intercession. For others.
Intercession.
put it on there, but there's no more room. Okay, does anyone else have anything more on what is prayer? Does anyone have anything on what is not prayer? That one was an interesting question to me. Yes, Jolene?
The expletive, oh my God.
Oh yeah.
Can you
some people get upset, they
mm-hmm.
say, oh my God, that is not a prayer.
I hear children say, oh my God, where does that come from? That is not a prayer. It is not a petition. It's not praise. It's used as an expletive.
Mm-hmm. So taking the name of Lord in vain?
It's like cursing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When they even shortened it down to OMG.
Yes.
I mean, that's how commonly it's
so common.
You're going to
Yes.
Telling God the problem and giving him solutions. I used to be really good at that. And then his solutions were always so much better, I was eventually humbled. But I used to spend a lot of time crafting solutions to these problems.
So telling God how to solve our problems?
Yeah.
Giving God solutions, actually.
It's not just a feeling or an emotion.
Yes. Which is interesting because part of that, you do get that. You do get feeling and emotion, so it's kind of hard sometimes to separate the two. It's like thinking, is this the feeling? Is this the Holy Spirit? Or is this just, I don't know.
Bargaining with God.
Okay.
I feel like you hear a lot of people who might not really be believers say, like, God, if you'll just show me. Like, if you'll just show me this, or if you'll do this, like, I'll believe in you, or I'll follow
serve
you. Or,
yeah.
I think a lot about when Jesus is talking about how to pray. And he says not to do it like the Pharisees. And a lot of the problem there was it was public. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with public prayer. I think a lot of us probably do it when we're out with our families and we pray for our meals, because that establishes the fact that it's important. And it also sets an example to those around us. So it wasn't the fact that they did it publicly, but the fact that it was self-serving.
Mm-hmm.
And they were doing it to say, look how holy I am.
Yeah.
And so I think that's one of the takeaways that Jesus is giving us there, is that prayer is not self-serving. It's not to draw attention to ourselves or to put us above others. I would just say self-serving there, but that's kind of my long way of getting to it.
Yeah. Well, I think about not exalting yourself, because you're coming before God to ask him, and you're like, I'm pretty awesome. God, give me something. I don't know.
I think sometimes it kind of maybe goes with Donna's giving God solutions, but kind of to me it's not going to God with a problem and expecting him to give me what I want. So like not having that expectation that we're going to get the answer that we want, if that makes sense. Like, I'm going to pray so that you give me what I want.
Yes.
In the time that I want. So kind of like not having expectations on God to not having those expectations.
Like Santa. It's like a Christmas wish list. Like, here's what I want.
Yeah,
give
it to
me.
Please.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. So not having like expectations.
Anyone else?
It's not a one-way street. It's not just us telling God all our problems, but we need it's also listening.
Yes. Did anyone have any calls? Yes, Rachel.
I would push back on one of them on the is not prayer.
Yes.
I would say that bargaining is a form of prayer because we see Abraham interceding for Sodom and Gomorrah, bargaining with God in that case. And we also see Moses interceding for Israel with God and bargaining with him for Israel's case.
Yeah.
So bargaining with the intention of getting what we want or having an expectation, I would say yes, that is not prayer. But simply bargaining with God itself, I would say, is a form of prayer in time.
That's a good point. Mm-hmm. Julie?
Yeah, I see that the difference in the bargaining there is that he was bargaining for others as opposed to, I'll do this if you do that,
yes,
kind of thing. That's,
yeah. Yeah. I would agree. Did anyone else have anything to add? Okay. We'll move on to the next question. This one I could fill like 5 pages. Why should we pray? Why should we pray? You can just shout it out to people.
Praying for forgiveness.
Sorry?
Forgiveness.
Forgiveness.
Keep it
humble.
Oops.
Thankful, humble. Is that what I heard? Mm-hmm. Thankful and humble.
I pray for personal peace.
Julie?
I pray because it helps me solidify what I'm doing. When I'm talking to God, I hear my thoughts, and a lot of times it's a correcting of like, wait a minute, I'm talking to God and I'm sounding like this, and it just kind of helps me pinpoint what my true needs are, and usually they're not what I started out thinking that they were.
Yeah.
I want this, I want that, and then when you're really talking to God and praising Him, that kind of changes what you're asking for what you. It clarifies what I truly need.
Yeah. So like a self-assessment?
Yeah.
Self-check. Chris?
Praying for others.
Stephanie?
I was going to piggyback off what Jennifer said, is that that connection and that building of a relationship, we already having a relationship, we need a relationship with God, right? And I know, speaking for myself, sometimes growing up in the church, it's very much the checkoff list, right? Instead of teaching our children to have a relationship with God. And you can't have a relationship with someone if you're not connecting and talking and pouring your soul out to each other. You know, you wouldn't have a marriage very long if you didn't talk to your husband and connect with your husband, right? Like, that is part of all of this, is that I think that connection is probably one of the biggest pieces there. We can talk about what to pray for and how we pray and all this stuff, but really the purpose of prayer is that connection with God and the relationship with Him, which then helps solidify like what Julie is saying, what really is important in our life when you're speaking to God in that way.
Yeah.
Yes.
Comfort. Comfort. Jen.
sometimes we all hit a point or an event or something that we're going through where that's all we can do. You know, they're really, I mean, obviously when things are really wonderful as well, but often when we're in those really low valleys, sometimes that is the only thing that we can do to make it through the day, to make it through the hour, through the moment, but there's no words. And whether it's something that we're going through or something that somebody else is going through that's just so big that we don't have the words for it, and prayer is the only thing that we do have there.
Stressful things, you're able to talk with him, and it says to give him your worries and your he can help you through it.
Yes. Casting your anxieties.
Yeah.
The imagery that I did in the beginning of the throne room, I heard that from a podcast, and when the speaker was talking about walking into the throne room. He says, like emptying out your buckets. And I think I heard somewhere else, the cinder box. I'm like, yeah, that's kind of what it feels like, this, like, weight that you're just like, oh. And that's what anxiety for me is. It's like, ooh. But, yeah. Anyone else? Why do you pray?
Think about accessing the power of God. Because I got convicted the other day, and Ryan was sharing with me some stress going on at work, and I found myself saying, I'll pray for you, but I wish there was something more I could do. And I got so convicted immediately. Like, that's the greatest thing I could do for you, is pray. So.
Yeah, we don't give prayer enough power that it deserves, right? One of the things that I thought was interesting in the lesson book that it mentioned was to not enter into temptation. I think Jesus was telling, in Luke 22:40, I should just read it instead of trying to paraphrase it. Luke 22:40. And when he came to the place, he said to them, "Pray that you may not enter into temptation." And I'll read a little more. "And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed, saying, 'Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done.' And there appeared to him an angel from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose from prayer, he came to the disciples and found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said to them, 'Why are you sleeping? Rise and pray that you may not enter into temptation.'" It's almost kind of like, duh, yeah, pray that you don't enter into temptation. But even Jesus is reminding the disciples, you need to do this. Especially what's about to happen is, yeah. Another thing, too, that I thought a reason for praying is also to make God known to people who may not know him. So, like, as an evangelism tool. I've had the opportunity a couple times where I just meet random strangers. And it's interesting because, Lisa, you mentioned about the emotions and feelings. And I struggle with that, trying to decipher which one is an emotion, which one's a feeling, which one's the Holy Spirit. Am I not giving the Holy Spirit enough credit? Because there are times that I'm moved to pray with this random stranger. They just poured out their hearts. I mean, I'm like, you don't seem to have a life with Christ. The only thing I can think of is, can I pray for you? Can I pray with you? And I do that. And they hear me talking to God. And that's a way of me saying, or not, sorry, not me saying. It's, I look at it as an evangelism tool. You never know, right? Okay, so the next question. Why is prayer such a challenge to our faith? Jen?
Because we as a society expect things immediately. And we also expect, if I'm doing the right thing, I'm going to get what I want as the end result. And we know that prayer doesn't work that way for either one of those things. It's not necessarily immediate, and it's not necessarily the answer that you want. It's the answer that's best for you. And both of those things are pretty counterintuitive to us. We expect instant gratification, and we expect, okay, I do this, this, and this. This is going to be my end result. And that's not how God works. And so that can make prayer a challenge for us.
Yes, Rachel.
Prayer forces us to self-evaluate and be vulnerable and honest with ourselves. It's easy to push back our own feelings and try to bury stuff, but we can't do that when we pray. We have to be forthright and honest in our prayer.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is interesting to me because I understand it a little bit better now. But I'm like, God, you already know. Do I really have to tell you this? Are you sure you really want me to repeat these things that are in my head? You want me to speak them out loud? You already know. No, he does. So why is prayer such a challenge to our faith? Yes, Linda.
I think it's just really hard to accept when the answer is no. And like Jen said, it might be what God knows. He sees the future. He knows what's good for you and what's not. And it's just accepting that sometimes the answer is no. Sometimes things won't get better. It's hard.
Yeah. Yes.
I think giving up control, you know, giving up that control and giving it to Him and saying, okay. Because, you know, I don't know. I think women sometimes have that problem of wanting to control everything and make sure everything is fine. We need to give that up and give it to Him and have Him in control.
Yes. Yeah. Trusting Him. Mm-hmm. Anybody else have anything? Why is prayer such a challenge to our faith? I like what you said, Londa. Sometimes I think it's funny, like God does see the future. I don't see the future and I'm like, oh, this is taking forever. It's like, no, it's not really taking that long. Like I think about some of the stuff that I shared with you all in the beginning of how long it took me to get my degree, how long it took me to become legal, and like in the grand scheme of things, it's really not that long. It's, I don't know, it's funny, like time is different for us than it is for God. His timing is just, it's perfect. And so, trusting Him with that. Yes?
I was just thinking on the basic, just a very basic level, it requires us to be self-disciplined to pray to God, right? Like just that fundamental, like that God's not gonna tap us on the shoulder. We need to pray, this is part, right? It requires us in our commitment, in our maturity, to know that we need this, You know, it's not, God's not up there going, I'll leave that, everybody just needs to pray to me. Like, it's not an arrogant thing. It's actually for us. Like, this is what draws us closer to Him. So it requires us to be the forthright one and to be disciplined and to make it a part of our life. And that, just on that fundamental level, can be a challenge.
Yeah.
Right? We get busy and our life go, oh, I haven't done that, right? I haven't done that in a while. And,
Yeah, there's some of the questions coming up that talk about that, like being disciplined,
forming a habit.
Yes. Next question. Can you name some examples of people who prayed and did not get yes as an answer. Yes.
David, when he prayed for his baby, it didn't happen.
Yeah. Do you remember what his attitude was about it?
He was humble.
Yes, he was.
He realized he was wrong. And that was the price he had to pay.
Yeah. Anyone else? Examples of people who prayed and did not get yes as an answer. And what were their attitudes?
Apostle Paul. The thorn in the flesh, and God said, my grace is sufficient for you.
Yeah. Do you remember what Paul said after his attitude?
I'll glory in my weakness, because that God is, God's strength is manifested.
Yes. Yeah. Jen.
Jesus himself, before he died on the cross, you know, Father, if you can take this cup from me, not your will but mine, and that makes me emotional. But, I mean, we know what his attitude was. He still went and did it.
Yeah.
And he didn't get the answer he was hoping for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Those, pulled all these that you guys have mentioned, they're very convicting, because I'm like, they asked for, they made a request, God said no, and their attitudes are just,
Jonah wanted to die, and God said no. but the sad one I'm thinking about is Jesus prayed for unity, and we don't have that yet. It's not God's fault, because he gave us freedom. But it's very sad that Jesus' prayer for unity hasn't come about.
Yeah.
I have really come to believe that often there is a posture, a physical posture for prayer, even on this little handout on the back, the silhouette. And I have experienced times of kneeling and praying. And my grandfather was an elder in the church when I was a child. He would step to the side of the pew, and I could still see him putting his hand up, and he knelt and prayed when there was prayer and when he was leading prayer. And that was often seen. And we kind of go, oh, they kneel, they're kneelers, you know, and I got bad knees and everything. But I think there is something about that. It talks about Jesus knelt to pray. And we have really never, as a people, practice that. And Adam Wilson used to ask that when he was here. If you are capable while we have prayer, would you kneel? And there is something about that feeling, and I can't truly explain it. When my husband was dying, I knelt at his bedside. I thought about him while I was doing the dishes or this or that. But when I really needed to talk to God, I knelt there. And I think we should think about that, the posture of prayer, and that it's a humbling posture. Look at the Muslim people when they have their time of prayer. And I see that in Scripture all the way through about kneeling to pray. And when you stop and think about it, we do have postures for things that we do. You know, you raise your hands and praise. I think that's a lovely thing. I used to be shocked by it, to see Christians raising their hands and praise. I now think, I understand more deeply about what they're feeling. And I feel that way about prayer. People with prostrate on the ground in prayer before God, and there is a sincere need. I just think it's something we should think about doing rather than lackadaisically, well, I'm sitting here, you know, the light's red, so I'll pray. And then you wind up praying that it'll turn green. I mean, I just think there's something about that. I mean, it's not that you cannot do that, but I've just kind of come to believe this for whatever reason, and I think it's worthy of thinking.
Yeah, I think you're right, and especially using Jesus as an example, that is who we are trying to imitate. So, yeah. Danny?
Sorry. I completely agree with Jolene and kind of going off of that. I think in your most vulnerable times, or at least I can speak for myself, in my most vulnerable times of life in prayer is when I do fall to my knees. And when I have emotionally just been like almost begging to please help me. And that's when I think that different times and physical prayer plays a part, where it's not just like we should do this or we should do that. It's what you're emotionally feeling and what you're giving over to God. And if it does mean you're sitting in your car at one time just asking hope for somebody else or asking for prayers while you're driving, or if you're praying in the shower, or if you're on your knees almost begging, it has to come from the heart. It's from the heart. So, but a lot of that comes from your body and your stature and the way that you're handling it too.
Yes.
Emotion.
Did anyone else have anything? Yes.
Not another example, but I think it all ties in with the examples that were given in attitude after. I think we also need to be really careful that we don't, it's very easy to take, well, I did it, my answer wasn't yes, or whatever that it comes out, and taking that as that God is punishing me. And we need to be so, so careful to not give that impression when something tragic happens to people and we say, well, that must have been God's will. Nope. That's not how it works. God's not up there moving us around like chess pieces and, you know, punishing us for things. There may be natural consequences to decisions that we've made, but that's not God punishing us. And I just, sometimes we can be very hurtful to ourselves, our self-talk, but we can also be hurtful to others when we say things that give that impression.
Yeah. How often should we pray? I thought, well, at least three times, because Daniel prayed three times. Yes,
I think we should pray whenever our heart tells us to. So whether you're cooking dinner for example and you want to pray, you can pray and turn off the stove, stick on the door, and whenever you feel in your heart's telling you pray, you get a prayer in your heart. I need to pray for this person. You know, God, you think of someone, pray for them. You know, you have to pray for them. They need all the prayers that we get. We all do.
Yes, yes, really good.
I mean, something that's been tricky for me is something that, like, if there's things that I pray about continuously, maybe I pray about them for a year, more than a year, and nothing's happening, I just kind of, like, give up on the prayer, right? But I think it was Ryan that mentioned something along this line in a Wednesday class recently, but just that, no, you keep praying, like, I should keep praying for those things, like even though I'm not seeing my answer yet. You know, you think about different people from the Bible and how long they waited to see God's promises fulfilled. And I think about myself and my prayer is, my prayer habits is like just not giving up on something that's important, right? There's not a timeline necessarily that God's given us to provide an answer to those prayers. I mean, maybe they will never come about like I would hope that they do or like I would expect, but it doesn't mean that I give up on the prayers of my heart and things that are important to me.
Yeah. It makes me think of the scripture, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, to pray without ceasing, which is don't ever stop praying, right? Is that what that would be?
Well, when I think about that verse, like for me, I think about that like, okay, like pray every day or pray all during the day. But like, I haven't ever really thought about it. Like, I might be praying about this for a decade or more. I don't know. I mean, I think that's been something that's tricky for me, is to not give up on things that I'm wanting God to do in my life, because he's bigger than that. He can do it.
Yeah.
Right? So why am I giving up?
Yeah. Good comment. Does anyone else have anything on how often should we pray? Yes.
So I'm thinking about, you know, maybe there's times in our lives where we're not already closer. Like, we're talking in the context that we want to have this relationship or that we're working hard to have a relationship. But there's always times in our lives, I'm going to speak for myself, where, you know, maybe I'm here, but I'm not really connected to God. You know, I'm here on Sunday. So it might just be that you have to, that's where that self-discipline, right, comes in, where you might just have to tell yourself, right, like, I just, every morning I have to get up and do this, right? And my heart might not be 100% in it at that particular moment, right? But that's the beginning stages, right? So I want to put that out there because not everybody all the time is like, yeah, I want to pray all the time and I want to do, right? You might be in a time in your life where you're like, I'm not doing this right now. Or whatever that situation is. So it might take a stop, right? And we do that in our physical world, right? You know, you might have to stop and just make a really hard decision. I'm not going to do this anymore. Or I need to do this every day to start building that relationship back up. And it may just require that.
Yeah. And it's, I think, Meredith, you mentioned about habits, like just different habits building, whether it's stopping something or adding something, like prayer. The next question, what are acceptable prayers? Which kind of, we've already talked a little bit about it, but that was one of the questions. So, unless you have, yeah, I feel like it's similar, but if anybody has anything, what are acceptable prayers? Yes, Don?
Oh, there was a poster at one of my kids' junior high schools that said, you know, when everything is just terrible and you can't think what to say, your prayer could just be help.
Yeah.
And I think lots of junior high school kids, I mean, they worry about so much in junior high.
Yes.
We need to make them real strong before they get to junior high.
Yeah. Yes,
I think reading scripture can also be a form of praying.
Yeah. Yes.
Meredith? Just the thought that prayer is not always like a certain emotion. I mean, we have example in the Psalms of where David's frustrated, David's
mm-hmm.
angry. And you can take that to God. You know, God, I don't feel like... you're answering me, or why is this happening to me? I mean, it can be a variety of emotions, not just like a happy, content prayer or a sad prayer. It can cover a range of emotions, and God still wants to hear from you.
Yeah. Well, it's something similar to what Stephanie said in terms of like, sometimes you don't want to pray. You don't feel like praying. You're like, I'm angry. Which, just the thought of that, I know God knows that. I know he knows, okay, I'm frustrated, I'm, you know, at my window, I can't handle it.
Well, there's no other, I doubt any of us have relationships in our life where we never have a negative conversation with somebody, or like, you know, hey, when you did this, it bothered me. So
yeah.
It's the same with God. He wants that two-way relationship with us, so that should cover a variety of emotions, requests,
yeah.
et cetera.
The next question, how does devoted prayer bring about maturity? Which some of the stuff we've already mentioned. How does devoted prayer bring about maturity?
I think it's like anything, it's like riding a bike or, you know, whatever, your job, that the more you do it, not only the more comfortable you are with it, but the closer relationship you have with God, with other people, and that's maturing and growing in the right direction towards God.
Yeah.
Like what she said, it helps you focus on what is good and what you're thankful for and all the positive. there's so much negative in the world, there's so many awful things in the world, but it makes you ground yourself with him to remember all of the things that he has given you and how grateful.
Yes.
Yeah.
Julie?
This acceptable prayer thing, I'm going backwards. I don't think there is an unacceptable prayer. God will work that out. Who are we to judge and to know? We don't know the hearts of people. We don't know the place that they're in. So how do we determine that? But God will determine that. He knows. I mean, you can hear the most eloquent and wonderful prayer from the greatest member of your church, and maybe the Lord just think it stinks. You know, and so I really didn't like that question, because I don't think there is an unacceptable prayer, because that becomes our judgment, because we're having a question here. And I think God will determine what is acceptable for us.
Yeah.
I think what I was thinking about was Stephanie said about self-discipline, and we talked about how prayer builds that relationship and connection with God. And so as you grow in your relationship, and the beauty of serving the Lord for any length of time is you build a track record, and you see how God brought you through past experiences, and you're able to, that faith grows, that growth is maturity. So I think it has a lot to do with becoming strong in the Lord as you're praying and as you're building that relationship with God.
Yes, I would agree. So, time goes by really fast.
Yeah.
2 minutes left. Concluding thoughts. Does anyone have anything for concluding thoughts? Yes.
The people in the Bible who often do they talk with him frequently, and a devoted prayer life gives you that guidance where your life, it can't help but be more mature. It's like a seed guide on a sewing machine, like your stitches aren't going all over the place, or like you're going all over the place, it's just, it's following. It's like you're reading the manual, you're downloading the manual day, you know, about the good choices to make, and the right way to live, and the attitude to have, so it can't help. Make your life more
attractive. Yes, yeah. Someone sent me this sentence, and I thought was really good. Prayer isn't to remind God what your problems are, but to remind your problems of who God is. And that really stuck with me. That's true. So I didn't get into this, but this right here, the sheet, the second sheet, is Revelation 4. It's the description of the throne room. And then the back, this is a little, it says a perfect prayer plan. I got this online and I thought it was pretty neat. So thank you all very much. And Stephanie's handing out the sheets for
this is for next week. Yeah, Evelyn's teaching next week. And her,
yeah,
she is prepared. She is prepared.